The Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent. Come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. A charitable organization had traveled to a village in Nepal that was high up atop a large hill. And as they were traveling there to visit the village, they were astounded that there was a series of steps, concrete steps, from a well far below up to the mountain village. As they walked up the steps, though, they noticed something that was a little bit peculiar. Next to the steps, there was a very well-worn path that looked like it was being used frequently and recently. Didn't quite make sense. There are the concrete steps, and there's this path that's still being used right next to it. When they got to the village and they visited with the people and were getting to know them, they said, "We have a question for you. Why are those concrete steps there? Why do you have concrete steps?" And they kind of laughed a little nervously, and they said, "Well, a couple of years ago, this man visited us. He was a very important person. He, you know, the kind of person who did a lot of good, and everyone knew it. The kind of individual who liked to do good, grand things. And when he came up to visit them at the village, he struggled because the path was very difficult, and he fell. And so he thought that the best thing that he could do was to build them concrete steps so that when they went down to the well, when the women went to the well, they would be able to use these steps, and they wouldn't have to worry about falling. And then he came back with a lot of grandeur and importance and dedicated the steps that he had so graciously given them, and they all politely applauded his wonderful generosity. But the thing was, the women, when they used the steps, kept falling and hurting themselves because they were used to walking on the path. They were used to the feel of their feet and the give and the take as they were carrying the heavy water. And so they gave up on using the concrete steps, and they just rebuilt the path that they had in the first place. The people who were there said, "Oh, that's interesting." And they responded, "Yeah, well, we're poor, but we're not stupid." They understood that this person who came with all of his own self-importance and decided what was best for them without actually talking to them was not helpful. And the group that was visiting the village realized that what they needed to do as they were there was to listen, to hear people's stories, to accompany the people, to walk with the people, rather than coming in with a sense of importance. That's what the gospel and the first lesson are talking about today. Not how the man did it, but how we exercise authority. how we respond with love and how we accompany people. Jesus had gone to the synagogue in Capernaum, and it's a huge synagogue. It's a very large space in a small town, and people would have known him because he was from nearby Nazareth. And he walks in, and he starts preaching. But he doesn't start preaching in a way that is superior. Instead, he preaches in the phrase they use as one who has authority. And it's important to understand where that authority came from. That authority was internal authority. You know the different kind of people who have authority? There are those people who exercise authority that they feel comes from outside of them, and they have something to prove, and they are going to rain it down on others. The kind of individual who thinks that they need to show that they are in control. Authoritarian kind of authority. And Jesus didn't have that. That's what the scribes had. People who were using an external force to try to control other people. But Jesus, and it's right here from the very beginning, he is one who knows who he is. His authority comes from whose he is. Just a few verses earlier, "You are my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." He knew his identity, and he didn't have anything to prove, nor did he have to show off to everyone how wonderful and incredible he was. So when he talked about the scripture, it was truly from inside of him, and his spirit flowed outward. As opposed to the authorities there who had control and came down and knew best and had a sense of understanding and doing what's best for people or controlling what they're going to do. And the spirit of those individuals is inward focused on what's in it for them or how they can look good. That's what I think was part of what was going on with the spirit that convulsed. Now, to be honest, when you look at a text like this as a preacher, you have two choices. You go with the authority or you go with the spirit, because if you try to do both of them, you do too much, and good preaching tries to, I think, focus on one area. But I think for that spirit, and there's more that could be said about it, but I think that spirit became something that was inward focused, and Jesus' spirit was outward focused. With a sense of his own authority. And because of that, he was able to hear what people needed. He was able to see inside of people. He was able to focus his energy on what people needed. That's why his ministry was reaching out and healing people, often in ways that they didn't expect, because he saw their needs, and it wasn't about him. It wasn't about who he was. It was about what he came to bring. It's about how he came to serve. The second lesson for today talks about how we also engage with people and how we respond to people. The story in Corinthians is one of a group of people who were super rich and super powerful and intelligent, and you know, they had it all together. Back in North Dakota, we describe people as all that in a bag of chips, you know? They thought they had it all. And they were so impressed with themselves. And then there were other people that were coming into the community, and they were looking down on the people that were coming into the community and saying, "Well, we know better than you." And they were concerned about sacrificing to idols. And the smart people are like, "There are no idols. I can eat whatever I want. I know this." And they used all of their intelligence to kind of look down on other people, kind of like building a concrete set of steps without actually asking what the issue was. And Paul responds to these individuals by saying, "Knowledge puffs up, love builds up." And that's what community is supposed to do. Community is supposed to build up and hear the needs of other people, to walk with them, to hear what their concerns. In the ELCA, our model of mission when we go into countries is not come in and say, I know what's best for you and I'm going to do this for you and you will look up on me as your superior. That's not the model we use. It's a model called accompaniment. Accompaniment means you walk with someone. You accompany them. You hear what their needs are. And you respond with grace. The sense of authority comes because you're a child of God and you have been empowered by God. And then you focus your spirit outward because you don't have to come in and prove who you are. Instead, you build up with love. That's what Jesus did with his mission. He accompanied the people. He could have come in and zapped everything really quick and been out of there in a couple of weeks. But he spent 3 years walking with the people, loving the people, listening and caring. He helped them. That's what God calls us to do as well. We encounter people. To not decide that we know best, but rather to hear stories. And to engage with people, to accompany them on their journey. Proud to be part of a church that does that in our global mission. Not coming in and saying, oh, this is what needs to be done to fix, but rather hearing the stories of the individuals. That's what community-based organizing does. When you come in and you listen to needs. It's actually the idea behind my mission and ministry meetings. And that's why it's the first priority that I have as a pastor and why it's so important for me to have you come. Just last Thursday in our first one, I was able to hear stories about what brought people to the church. I was able to hear stories about what the church is. And then as we work together, we are able to minister and raise up and walk with those in our community to lift up. To not be superior, to not be condescending. The best ministries, the best things happen when we accompany people. When we sit down at the table, not just serving them, but getting to know them. We get to know people. As people of faith, we have a God who knows our story, who knows us personally. And intimately, and who cares about that, and who doesn't bring in authority to try to prove to us who he is, but rather hears our cries and calls us, as the people of God, to walk with others. We need to remember that we serve a God who doesn't build concrete steps. But rather walks with us as we step by step by step walk up the mountain path, sometimes slipping, sometimes sliding, but having a God who goes with us and calls us to accompany others. Amen.